Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
In Montana, a man is arrested for intentionally running a motorcycle off the road and killing a driver. In Arkansas, a couple is accused of attempting to sell their infant for $1,000 cash. And a viral video has surfaced of a young girl chugging a beer at a Texas football game, and we got some comments on that. So these stories and more are coming at you today, Tuesday, October 1st, on Real Life Real Crime Daily, and I'm Jim Chapman.
I'm Woody Overton.
And we are back for another week of True Crime News.
Right, October, and look, before we started, prayers, and man, we know... All you lifers out there that were affected by Hurricane Helene, and we've lived it, and we wouldn't wish it on our worst enemy, and so many people are dead, and all the destruction and everything, and God bless y'all, and our prayers and thoughts are with you, man. It's nothing easy about it, but you will come back, right, Jim?
That's right.
It's not going to replace the love.
Stronger.
Yeah, it's not going to replace the loved ones or anything like that, but... You know, I don't know what else to say about it. We feel your pain, and we're with you.
That's right. That's right. Prayers for all the people affected. And look, the worst thing about those situations are the heirlooms that you leave, the irreplaceables.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know? Yeah, shit, I lost so much. But this about them. And no, it's like the migraine. Everybody knows what one is, but until you live it.
That's a great analogy, actually.
You're going through it. And while I say the same thing about murder victim families, you know, everybody knows what murder is, but unless you're living it as a family member, as a survivor of the murder victim,
yeah.
You don't really get it, right?
100%.
But it's beginning in October, and let's get down to some true crime time for
Tuesday. And we're going to start off in Montana. You ever been to Montana?
Many times. Love Montana.
Big Sky State?
Yep. Yep. I spent 3 weeks working a case in Missoula.
Missoula, Montana.
Yep. Right across. I stayed in the Hilton right across the river from the college. But yeah, Montana's, it's amazing.
Well, we're going to go to Carbon County, Montana. And a tragic event has unfolded in that south central Montana town when a local man was taken into custody following a deliberate act that led to the death of a motorcyclist. Witness reported the suspect, Michael Gamble, purposely swerved his vehicle toward three motorcyclists, resulting in a fatal crash. Authorities in Carbon County reported that the events began last Tuesday afternoon. It was near a town called Rockvale. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but Gamble's silver car allegedly attempted to force two others off the road while they were riding their motorcycles, and they were actually brothers. They were related. So during this encounter, one of the riders was struck in the leg, but he managed to stay upright on his motorcycle. However, the driver's aggressive maneuvers escalated to a dangerous level when he made a U-turn and pursued one of the brothers down the wrong side of a divided highway, prompting the biker to jump a curb to escape a collision. Eyewitness accounts painted a vivid picture at that scene, with the brothers describing Gamble as yelling wildly and making obscene gestures at them during the chase. The situation took a tragic turn around 2:30 p.m. that day when Gamble's vehicle forced another motorcyclist off the road, resulting in the death of 70-year-old Martin Peter, and he was from Switzerland. The incident also left Peter's passenger with significant injuries, requiring hospitalization and Billings for treatment of serious abrasions. Following the fatal crash, Gamble was apprehended in Cody, Wyoming, where he is currently facing extradition proceedings. Prosecutors are seeking to charge him with one count of deliberate homicide, along with three counts of attempted deliberate homicide. Court records indicate that upon his arrest, Gamble's vehicle exhibited damage consistent with the collision and was missing a plastic cover from the passenger side mirror, one that was later found at the scene of the accident. So there, look, you can't ask for better evidence than that, right?
They got to match paint and other shit, too, that was on there.
Yeah. While Gamble remains in custody, he is also facing a separate hearing concerning a probation violation in Wyoming. In a strange defense of himself, Gamble reportedly told investigators that he believed he was being targeted by a motorcycle gang after a brief encounter on the interstate. However, his explanation contradicts the accounts provided by witnesses.
It's sad that one of those guys on the motorcycles wasn't strapped and didn't bust a cap in his fucking.
Yeah. Look, I mean, that's, I'm sure a lot of our listeners either ride motorcycles or know somebody that does. Yeah. Yeah. And that is no joke and not funny. And yeah, obviously and it resulted in a death. In this
70-year-old man enjoying the beautiful big sky country.
You ride a motorcycle?
Yeah. I always did until.
Did you really?
Yeah, I didn't know always that. Had a bike. I'm about to get another one, but the until Ben Smith, he was the head of the Motor Patrol Division. He was a firearm instructor. It was one of the first guys I rode with when I came to Livingston Parish. And I got a call on Sunday night that he'd been in a wreck on his own personal motorcycle. And he was on 447 South, just below Walker. And went to pass a vehicle, and another car was coming, and he laid it down. The safety things that they teach him to do and killed him. And then my other buddy, Jerry Wooster, who was also a motorcycle cop, and he got hit in a funeral procession. And but when Ben got killed, I saw my shit. I said, I'm not doing it.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, Louisiana actually, I think, ranks like the worst in the nation for motorcycle crashes.
Yeah.
People just don't pay attention.
Yeah.
Yeah. Y'all, motorcycles have a right to be on the road too, right?
That's right.
So, well, you know what the biggest stadiums are in college football?
LSU's got to be up
LSU
there.
LSU is up there, but they're not the biggest. I think it's LSU, it's Texas, LSU. Like Michigan.
Yeah, Michigan's got a huge stadium, too.
Northern schools, but let's take you out to Texas. Now, I spent a lot of time in Austin and Polygraph School and going back there every year and all that stuff. And this stadium is massive, right? Well, you know, they're the number one team in the country. And they had the big game.
Actually, they're number two now.
Well, I know they were. They were number one this weekend when this story took place.
Yeah.
So, you know, when I had season tickets for LSU, they didn't sell beer. That's how long ago it was. And now, you know, like the first time they sold beer at an LSU game, they sold out before halftime.
Yeah.
People drank. We used to sneak our liquor in.
That's right.
But anyway, you don't have to do that anymore in SEC stadiums. And in Austin, this weekend, this lady was sitting behind a couple with a kid, and she's happened to shoot a video showing the young child drinking from what looks like a can of beer at the Texas football game. And look, this has gone like huge. It's going to be a short story, but it's garnered a lot of attention online. And of course, they can't say for sure that the can had beer in it,
right?
But it appeared that she was drinking it. The video has garnered tens of millions of views on social media. Like I said, it was taken by another fan seated a few rows behind a young girl, and the girl is seen holding and appearing to sip from a Michelob Ultra can and taking multiple sips. An adult as the adult sitting next to her appeared to be distracted. Isn't it crazy?
That is crazy.
The girl's face is not seen on camera during the video. And while it's illegal for a person under the age of 21 to drink alcohol according to Texas state law, there is an affirmative defense to prosecution that the alcohol beverage was consumed in the visible presence of the minor's adult parent, guardian, or spouse. Anyway, that I don't know. You can't prove it. You know, it's a big deal, but they could go in there and try to charge them, but you can't prove that it was beer in a can.
Right.
I mean, you don't have the evidence.
Well, with everybody,
they should have done it.
Trying to go viral on videos now, they could say, "Oh, we did that on purpose because we knew."
But I mean, somebody, if I see that shit, and it's a 6-year-old chugging the Michelob Ultra, I'm probably gonna grab an ears cop and say, "Hey, that motherfucker was." I got him here on video and he's still holding a can. Go see if it's got beer in it. And then you can do what you need to do. I mean, yeah, come on, man. It's got to be a certain age limit. I know I was young the first time I had a beer, but.
You wasn't sick?
I wasn't sick. If I was, I don't remember.
I think I was like 9 and I just tasted one.
Right.
You know, but, well, you know, maybe some reports will come out on some more. I'm sure. They're going to get to the bottom of it.
Yeah.
Now that's the problem with going viral. Now all the cops know about it.
But right? They can know about it. They can't prove it. Yeah. Just that was water.
That's right.
Wanted to be like daddy.
Well, we're going to get to Arkansas. All right. And man, this is a disturbing one. A disturbing incident has unfolded at a local campground there where a young woman was apprehended for trying to sell their 2-month-old child. On September 21st, the campground manager alerted the Benton County Sheriff's Office about reports that Shalene Eilers and her boyfriend Darren Urban were attempting to give their infant away in exchange for a 6-pack of beer and $1,000 cash.
Nice.
The situation escalated to the point where emergency responders were actually called to the scene as the infant required some urgent medical attention. The baby was then transported to Children's Hospital for care. The investigation revealed a note written by Urban and Eilers in which they stated their intention to sign over their rights to their child in exchange for $1,000. The document included a disclaimer asserting that after this agreement, they would not change their minds or have any further contact. Witnesses indicated that a man named Ricky Crawford approached the couple, expressing concern for the child's welfare. It was reported that Crawford offered several cans of beer in return for taking care of the baby for one night. Upon receiving the infant and a diaper bag, Crawford returned the child to another individual, Cody Martin, who signed the agreement. During this exchange, the law enforcement noted that Crawford appeared heavily intoxicated, you think, raising further concerns about the welfare of the baby. When questioned by detectives, Eilers and Urban claimed the child was in the process of being adopted and that they had intended to surrender the baby to Martin for the agreed sum, which they claimed would be exchanged on September 23rd. They asserted that their plan was to formalize the arrangement legally.
Yeah.
I mean, are there really people this dumb in the world?
Yes, they are.
That is so crazy. However, witnesses reported that upon the baby's return, the child was in a distressing state. Observations included a foul odor, a full diaper, and signs of significant rashes and swelling in sensitive areas. In a conversation with Martin, Eilers expressed that managing both the infant and their 3 dogs was unmanageable. You get rid of the infant, you keep the 3 dogs.
For the beer.
Yeah. Following these alarming revelations, Martin contacted law enforcement, leading to the arrest of Eilers and Urban, and they now face serious charges, including endangering the welfare of a minor and attempting to relinquish a minor for adoption. Court records reveal that Urban had a prior criminal history, sentenced to 3 years of probation for theft, in June, and he was able to post a $50,000 bond. In that case, Eilers remains in custody at the Benton County Jail. Bruh,
Why?
People like this exist.
Why?
Blows my mind.
It's unbelievable.
For $1,000 in a six pack.
$1,000 in a six pack.
Yeah. Not, I mean, it wouldn't matter if it was $1 million, right, but it's right. Just well, yeah. Bizarre.
And but they were going to get it done legally.
Yeah. I'm pretty that's sure the best part.
I'm pretty sure the state's right. Going to say, oh, yeah, you want to get rid of your kid for $1,000 and a six pack?
Yeah.
Of don't worry about it. We're going to take care of him for you.
Yeah, it's my kid. I can sell him if I want
all right.
to.
All right.
I mean,
my shit.
Yeah. So crazy.
I made him.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know. Well, we talked about beer twice already today. And let's go to the state that drinks more beer than all
Texas.
Nope.
Louisiana.
Number one. Nope. You would think so. Number one drinking state
in Wisconsin.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Number one drinking state in the United States of America. And a guy named David Bentz, who's 69, and his brother Robert Bentz, 68, of Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Green Bay.
Check this out. They're exonerated in a 1987 killing. So the two Wisconsin brothers spent nearly 25 years in prison and have been exonerated thanks to genetic genius. We always talk about it, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
So in 2000, David Bentz, 69, and his brother Robert Bentz, 68, both of the Green Bay, convicted of the 1987 murder of Sandra Lisson. In early August 1987, Lisson, a 44-year-old mother of two, banished from her job as a bartender at Good Times. Imagine that at a bar. They had Good Times in Green Bay. That's according to Green Bay Press Gazette. Okay. So her remains were found shortly after in Machakani Forest in Oconto County, 30 miles away. She had been strangled. That's according to autopsy. Authorities said they found evidence she had been sexually assaulted before she was killed, and police questioned the brothers who were at the bar that night. Now, David allegedly got into an argument with Liston over the bill. For years, the case went cold. Then in 1998, when David was serving a sentence for another crime, his cellmate told authorities that David had confessed in his sleep to killing Liston. I mean, come on, man. But anyway, despite a lack of physical evidence linking the brothers to the crime, prosecutors said they had robbed Lisson before killing her, right? And in 2000, they were both sentenced to life in prison. Well, the worm turned, and in 2018, the Great North Innocent Project of Minnesota began looking into the case. And when local genealogists were unable to find evidence linking the brothers to the murder, Jim Mayer, the project's legal director, enlisted the help of investigate Genetic Genealogy Center at Rampo College in New Jersey. And in 2023, IGG investigators found a genetic profile of DNA found at the crime scene and uploaded that to consumer databases such as GEDmatch, et cetera. Based on the information, they began looking for any relatives that matched the DNA sample. IGG narrowed the match to three brothers from Green Bay, and one of those brothers was William Hendricks, a convicted rapist who died in 2000. He died in 2000. So in April, the IGG obtained a DNA sample from his disinterred remains and found that there was a 1 in 329 trillion chance that it belonged to anyone except for Hendricks.
So you're saying there's a chance?
Yeah, all right. On Wednesday, September 27th, a judge granted a motion to set the brothers free. And today, Sandra Lisson will rest in peace because her true murderer is now known in this court of Judge Donald Zudmulder. I don't know how the fuck I get all these names.
You get all the weird names.
Z-U-I-D-M-U-L-D-E.
Dr. Z.
Yeah, Dr. Z. Judge Z. He says, it is therefore my bounded duty to exercise and follow the law. Well satisfied that I will sign judgments, vacating the convictions for both of these defendants and set them free. and asked how the brothers could have been sentenced to life in prison despite a lack of physical evidence. The DA, David Lassie, it says the prosecutors and the law enforcement officers were handling this case at the outset, followed the evidence that they had at the time, and that conviction was sound. So they're free. And well, I always like, you know, when innocent people get to go free.
Yeah, that's a good thing. But I'll tell you something about DNA that really makes it hard on these criminals now to get away with anything is, you know, DNA was an advancement, and then familiar DNA was an even more of an advancement. So if I killed somebody, I might say, well, nobody's got my DNA, and I'm not going to mail off my DNA somewhere. But if your family member does, you can still be linked.
And everybody's done it. It seems like, you know, they mean, I did it years ago.
I ain't done it. I don't want to know who I'm relying
on. Before
that might be scary.
You know, I was a detective at the time when I did it to get my shit done, see where I was from and all that. But I wasn't thinking that they could use it.
Yeah.
Damn it.
That's it. Shit, I done messed up now. Yeah, well, let's go to Colorado.
Hey, y'all. Changing my wardrobe from summer to fall. Hey, it's never easy. Luckily, Quince offers timeless and high-quality items I adore, ensuring my wardrobe stays fresh and I don't blow my budget. And there's nothing easier than going to Quince and choosing these high-quality items, like cashmere sweaters from $50, pants for every occasion, washable silk tops, and so much more. The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, and I love that. Look, I got the stainless steel Link Apple Watch band for $59.90, and it's heavy duty, it's awesome, and it's like $100 less than I could find anywhere else. And I also got 100% organic cotton fisherman quarter zip-up sweater. The color is alabaster. Man, I can't wait to wear that dude out this fall. And Cindy got the Mongolian cashmere boat neck sweater and heather gray. And I'm telling you, these are classic pieces at a fraction of the price. Make switching seasons a breeze with Quince's high quality closet essentials. Go to quince.com/RLRC for free shipping on your order and 365 day returns. That's quince.com/RLRC to get free shipping and 365 day returns. Quince.com/RLRC. You'll thank me later. Do you want to set your child up for success? Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with a subject? Is your child ahead, not getting challenged enough in class? IXL Learning is an online learning program that enriches your homeschool curriculum. It offers practice in math, English, language arts, science, and social studies while adapting to each child, meeting them where they are. Plus, IXL encourages students to be curious and empowers them how to choose to learn. Now, Cindy used IXL in the classroom as a teacher and now uses it to homeschool our youngest son in the 9th grade. The videos are what she finds that benefits him most in math because he's a very visual learner. The perfect supplement to your homeschool curriculum, IXL offers interactive practice problems, educational game lessons, and video tutorials for every topic you're teaching at home. It's easy to use, time-saving, and everything on IXL is organized by grade, subject, topic, and subtopic, making it simple to find activities for the exact skills you're covering. Instant grading, helpful progress reporting, IXL offers instant feedback and explanations of new topics as kids use the program. Flexible and personalized. Kids can explore any topic in any grade level. They aren't forced into a single learning path like they are on other programs. If you're homeschooling your child because they were falling behind or because they were too far ahead, IXL is a great program to help them get the exact support they need.
It's fun for kids, and kids love IXL's positive feedback, awards, and educational games. And it's trustworthy. IXL is trusted by 15 million students worldwide and has proven to improve performance in over 75 scientific research studies. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And Real Life Real Crime listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
And look, for those listeners out there that don't know, you know, Woody's a fan of hot sauce.
Very, very huge fan of hot sauce.
You love hot sauce.
I love hot sauce. Put hot sauce on everything.
But you probably wouldn't kill somebody over hot sauce, would you?
No. Well,
it depends on how hot it is.
I wouldn't.
Well, we're going to go to Colorado, and we're going to tell you about an argument over a bottle of hot sauce that turned deadly.
Okay.
So this Colorado confrontation actually resulted in one man's death and another's arrest. 19-year-old George Vigil has been charged with second degree murder following this unfortunate event, and it actually unfolded at a residence near Mile High Stadium, home of the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, yeah.
John Elway's former stomping ground.
John Elway.
Yeah, so the alarming incident.
Still a stomping ground.
Yes.
General manager, yeah.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's like part owner.
Yeah, John. The alarming incident was reported to authorities last Sunday evening at approximately 5:22 p.m. A distressed woman, she calls 911, and she informs the dispatcher of a stabbing incident. In her frantic plea, she described the presence of two men and a woman. One of the men was wielding a knife. The caller indicated the victim had sustained a stab wound to the left side of his ribs, and so emergency services goes out there, and the lady says, make sure the ambulance hurries because he's bleeding to death. When asked about the identity of the assailant, the caller provided Virgil's full name, effectively identifying him as a perpetrator. Upon their arrival, law enforcement and medical personnel, they assess the scene. They see the victim laying there with two significant stab wounds, one to the rib cage, another to the back, and they transport him quickly to a local hospital. Unfortunately, that victim succumbed to his injuries and was pronounced dead. George Vigil was found at the scene with blood on his hands and clothing, but he didn't have any signs of injury. A witness told investigators that the victim had a familiar relationship with Vigil, indicating that he often visited the residence to check on someone. On the night of the incident, the victim had arrived, as he typically did. He was seeking to prepare a sandwich, and he was asking about the location of hot sauce. You know, like you would do. Where's your hot sauce, bro? Hot sauce. An argument erupted over its whereabouts, with George stating that it's in my bedroom. So the dispute intensifies. It leads to a physical altercation. Family members start intervening in this. This is all over hot sauce. Tensions escalated further when the victim suggested, let's take it outside.
Oh, Lord.
So that's what they did. They go outside, and during that confrontation is when witnesses said Virgil delivered what appeared to be the fatal blow. The witness noted that Virgil was known to carry a switchblade. Yeah, like the Outsiders, way back in the day. George Vigil made his first court appearance the following Monday, where he was ordered to be held without bond, and still we don't know the name of the hot sauce.
I was about to say, I wonder what kind of hot sauce.
Couldn't have been Tabasco. What's your favorite?
Louisiana.
More than Tabasco?
More than Tabasco.
Wow.
Because I don't want to give away all my secrets, but the when I fry stuff, an old Cajun lady taught me this. She was a Nana Ray. She was a cook for Chevron and offshore and she told me it's 30 some years ago that you take that Louisiana hot sauce, just pour it in a bowl, no egg, no milk, none of that BS. And you take like your back strap or whatever you fry it, chicken legs, doesn't matter. And you roll it in the hot sauce and you roll it straight into flour and you fry it in, makes a perfect crust. I'm talking about like
really
perfect, and it's not too hot. He's even my mama, she's 80 something, will eat it. Everybody will eat it. It gives it a little bit of flavor. No seasoning. You don't need to add any seasoning to it. It's just perfect. And I put Louisiana hot sauce on everything.
Wow.
Yep. So Louisiana.
Yeah. If you want to sponsor, shout out.
You know where to get it at. But I ain't killing nobody ever. I like Alcon hot sauce. Look, I got fans that send, lifers has been sending me hot sauce for years.
Yeah.
Like Butt Hot and all these different super hot ones and ghost peppers and different shit. And I loved every one of them. They're awesome.
Well.
So y'all always hear us talk about Roy and Kristen and Kristen, Louisiana Funeral Services, and Louisiana Pet Crematory, right?
Yep.
And both of them ending.com. And y'all, they're the one stop for everything. And I hate to say that. That's probably a bad word to say. The one stop for everything.
One stop shop.
But they're good people, the best people. And if you know, only place in Louisiana you can get your own independent autopsy. Like I told y'all before, Jim's pet died and took it over there, and then they took care of that. And you go in this room, the pet crematory room, it's just amazing. The all the different things.
Oh yeah.
To memorialize.
Yeah.
Your fur baby.
Yeah, it's not just the urns. They've got all kinds of things there to keepsakes, if you will.
Right, and so many different things that just blow your mind. But the reason I'm telling y'all about that. That's LouisianaPetCrematory.com, the LouisianaFuneralService.com, underneath the giant American flag in Broussard, Louisiana. But this next story is going to trip you out. And so one man, and this is crazy, one man has been arrested after trying to cremate his dog and then start a wildfire. Named the Bucktail Fire in Nucla, back to Colorado, NUCLA, Colorado, in early August. All right. And this is according to every fucking press agency in the world. But Brent Scott Garver, 63, was arrested on September 5th, according to the Montrose County Sheriff's Office. He was charged with arson and trespassing. He was identified as a suspect after a commander with the sheriff's office saw him driving away on an ATV just minutes after the fire started. Now, this is according to his arrest affidavit. The commander then met with the state fire investigators and discovered a dugout cave in the spot where the fire originated. A partially burned dog's body was found in the cave. And I mean, you don't know it's that guy's dog there, right?
Burnt.
How do you think they knew?
How did they know?
Well, I tell you what. The dog's partially burnt body was found in the cave, along with a large rock with the words, October 2017 through July 2024, rugged dog, rest in peace, buddy, in bone, glued on the surface of the rocks.
That's how they knew. It's right there for him.
Rocket, who was later confirmed to be Garber's dog, have been ordered by a judge to be euthanized after he got into a fight with another dog. That's according to the affidavit. The affidavit alleged Garver put his dog in a pit with wood and lit it on fire before tossing a spray can in the flames, which blew out and hit a nearby tree. Garver lived in a camper near the fire's initial starting point, and witnesses later told investigators that Garver then told them he accidentally started the fire. And Garver appeared at the Montrose County Courthouse on Wednesday, September 25th. And according to USA Today, his preliminary demand hearing is scheduled for Wednesday, October 23rd. But the Bucktail Fire is one of Colorado's largest fires this year and caused around $300,000 in damage across public and private property. It burned more than 7,200 acres, right? And so, y'all, if you gonna attempt to burn, I'm looking at the dog's name again. If you're gonna attempt to burn Rocket Dog, you know, you wanna cremate Rocket Dog?
Yeah.
give Roy Chris
yeah, Louisiana. Yeah, that'd be the thing to do. Leave that to the professionals.
And I promise you, they're not starting forest fires.
No, 7,000
acres. And I promise you, they'll show you the love that you need and get you through the time. And that's what their chosen profession is, and they're the best in the world at it, and we love them. So give Roy and Kristen and Kristen a call at LouisianaPetCrematory.com and LouisianaFuneralServices.com underneath that giant American flag and Bruce Hart, Louisiana.
Rest easy. Yeah. Well,
Rocket Dog. I heard a lot of names. That's a great name.
I like it.
That's a good name.
Rocket Dog.
Rocket Dog blew up.
What?
Burned up 72 acres.
Yeah, 7,200 acres.
7,200. So shit, Then Rocket Dog blew up.
Yeah, that's true. Everything else.
Put your dog in there with some wood and shit and light him on fire. Then you're going to throw a fucking paint can in there and it blew up, shot out, hit a tree and caught everything on fire.
Yep.
And then you run from it and the cops see you running from it.
Right? Yep.
Yeah.
I know it.
Pretty good story.
Crazy people in this world, and it don't get any better with the story I'm about to tell you. Okay. And this one right here is absolutely viral everywhere on the internet, and that is the Arizona State University stabbing. And, you know, just a shocking incident in Glendale, Arizona, at Arizona State University, where a 19-year-old student by the name of Mara Defron was violently attacked by a classmate as she entered her classroom. The attack was entirely unprovoked, leaving both the students and the faculty in total disbelief. Mara was approached by a fellow student.
Right.
The student's name was Casey Sloan. Mm. And Casey walks up to her and she just starts laughing at her. Then she pulls out a knife and stabs her twice in front of the classmates. Mm. Eyewitnesses describe the scene as horrifying. Many of the students just frozen shock, obviously. Reports indicate that Casey attempted to deliver a third strike with that knife, but thanks to swift interaction by a fellow student, his name was Matthew McCormick, further harm was averted. McCormick managed to restrain Casey, preventing what could have been an even more tragic outcome. Now, after the attack, Mara fled to a nearby courtyard where she was promptly attended to by paramedics, was later transported to a local hospital where she underwent surgery for injuries to her tricep and her spleen.
Oh, Lord.
Authorities are still piecing together the motive behind the attack because it's totally senseless. It seems there's no reason for this. Investigators discover notes in Casey's possession that suggested she had planned the assault. And she reportedly chose Mara as a target because she perceived her as an easier option compared to other potential victims. In a chilling admission, Casey actually confessed to police that she went to class with the intention of harming someone, but she hadn't decided who. I know it. She also said she narrowed that down to two particular individuals, but she decided on Mara because she just seemed like she would be the easier person to take down and stab without getting a fight. In other words, this girl seemed really nice and probably wouldn't fight me back.
Right.
In the wake of the incident, the university obviously is shocked and concerned over this. Mary's mother actually shared that while her daughter is at home recovering, the family remains in disbelief over the events. Mara has a long road to recovery ahead of her, but is making progress despite the pain. Matthew McCormick, the student who intervened during that attack, he's being held a hero, as he should be, and he emphasized the importance of a collective response in the classroom, noting how 911 calls were made and how effectively everyone reacted to the crisis. Now, as for Casey Sloan, she faces several serious charges, including first-degree attempted murder, and she's being held at the Maricopa County Jail on a $250,000 bond. And that story right there, absolutely senseless.
Absolutely senseless.
What?
And also, it goes to prove
that's a WTF.
You don't have to have a gun to kill somebody, right? If somebody wants to kill somebody, they're going to do it.
Choke them.
Thinking about it, all the stabbing victims at work. Dude, did I ever talk to you about human fat?
About human fat?
Human fat.
No.
Okay. So
you would never believe what it looks like. You could be skinny as hell, and like if you got a little bit of whatever when it cuts you open, is this almost an orange, but a really, really darker yellow, almost orange color. And it looks like little beads, and a billion of them. And it'll fucking trip you out, dude. And I'm thinking about it, even if that girl got cut on her arm, you know, where it's laid open, you could be able to see that layer of the yellow fat.
Wow.
Pretty crazy. So for all y'all out there, just go look it up. Human fat. What does it look like?
Yeah.
I'm curious as fuck, but it's off in Miami sure. You're talking
everybody,
about.
Everybody stop, do that real quick. Indeed.
All right. Look, I'm going to tell y'all and again, we can go back to, and this is not commercial, just talking about it, to LouisianaFuneralServices.com. And, you know, they have where you can do the autopsies there and everything. And autopsies are so fucking important because, you know, I don't think they do it intentionally 99% of the time. Sometimes the cops just get murder cases wrong. And in Louisiana, at LouisianaFuneralServices.com, call
LA Pet Grooming.
That's right. It's all there. But the call for Roy and Kristen, and you can have your own independent autopsy done because I get messages from y'all every day. But the hashtag Justice4, and I'm not saying the name yet because I don't want those fucking assholes to know we're coming. That starts on November 1. This story reminds me of this. So a lady named Jamie Dickerson spent a year asking questions and seeking evidence in her quest for justice for her daughter, April Holt. Okay. The moment Jamie Dickerson saw her daughter in the hospital on life support with bruises on her neck and ankles and broken blood vessels on her cheeks, she says she knew the 29-year-old had been victimized by another person. Well, I knew it was foul play, Dickerson said about her daughter. And April Holt, the victim, was a mother of two from Antioch, Tennessee. Dickerson, however, had been told that her daughter had tried to take her own life on July 29th of 2023 after April's husband said he found her unresponsive in the shower with a bag taped to her head. Right? Okay. Nah, right. Throwing up red flags. Dickerson didn't believe it then, and she didn't believe it in the weeks and the months after April Holt had died from her injuries. She died, y'all, on July 31st of 2023. So she said she requested a divorce 2 weeks prior, and April had previously tried to leave her husband, Donovan Holt, 33, she says, but she had never gone through with it. But in her latest attempt, Dickerson, April says her daughter April was serious, insisting that her daughter did not die by suicide. Dickerson, who's 45, of Bell Buckle, embarked on a year-long investigation that included bringing in important evidence to light, and in June, drawing out. This is Mama Bear, ultimate Mama Bear. She drew out a confession from Donovan herself.
Oh, wow.
Right? So in July, Metro Nashville Police Department cold case unit detectives obtained an official confession from Donovan, who authorities claim admitted he was responsible for strangling his wife. Indicted by a grand jury on charges of reckless homicide, evidence tampering, and false reporting, Donovan was arrested in San Antonio, Texas on Thursday, September 19th. And it's not immediately clear if he's entered a plea, blah, blah, blah. He was extradited back to Nashville, where he's being held on a $75,000 bond, and he's waiting his arraignment, et cetera. And Dickerson, the mom, who she says She worked relentlessly 2 or 3 hours a day for months and months and months in her quest to get justice for April. She said, I had to fight for her, she says. And when it comes to protecting their children, she adds, moms have superpowers. Now, April, who owned her own lash studio in Nashville, loved being a mom to her daughter, 12, from another relationship, and her son, 8, whom she shared with Donovan, and was looking forward to the future, Dickerson says. So when Dickerson saw her daughter's battered body, she immediately told police she believed April was the victim of a homicide. I knew my baby, she says, but they didn't believe me. And in November 2023, the medical examiner's office ruled her death a suicide due to complications of suffocation. Still, Dickerson followed her gut and persisted. I had to keep calling for meetings with the DA and the police department, she says, claiming that police largely disregarded her questions. And determined to find answers, she turned to help to the Community Review Board, which is a police advisory and review committee for the city of Nashville. 4 months later, the board sent her a 47-page report with one glaring piece of alleged evidence that the only fingerprints on the bag and tape found around April's neck were Donovan, her husband's. Despite that, they said they still didn't have enough evidence to convict him, Dickerson said. So she kept going. She sent Donovan a screenshot of the report. I told him he had a choice, she says. He could tell me what happened, or I was going to go to the cold case department. Donovan called her and allegedly said he had strangled April, dragged her to the shower, and taped a bag over her face to make it seem like she died by suicide. And Dickerson, the mama, recorded the conversation. And she then notified MNPD, who began investigating anew. And, you know, just fucking awesome, man. The mom, y'all, they started GoFundMes and all that shit. And it goes on and on about it, but don't give up hope. And the moms that I've been dealing with and dealing with now, you just want to believe that the cops are doing their jobs. Sometimes it's for whatever reason, and I don't believe most of the time it's a nefarious reason. Sometimes it's just like, you know, well, write it all. Come on, motherfucker. All the suicides I work in, I cannot begin to put a fucking number on it. I've never had someone put a bag around their own head and tape it off.
Right. Yeah.
Come on. And you got bruises on your body?
A lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it. And look, most of those police officers, they got
the best.
Look, man, them suckers are overworked as hell.
Oh, I know. I know. Hey, look, because you got
19 homicides.
One dead body. That doesn't mean they're not calling you for the next one. That's right. Fresh on the ground. And I get that. And I know playing armchair quarterback makes it nothing easy about solving a cold case, but it makes it appear easy, but it's not. But my message would be, don't give up.
Yeah.
Don't take the answer. She got a 47 fucking page report that said that only the dude's fingerprints were in the bag, but we're still calling it a suicide. You know what I mean?
That's crazy.
Yeah.
School.
Don't give up, people. And hashtag justice for Miss Barbara Blunt. Y'all call in your tips.
Yes.
Your Honor, I'd like to present to the ladies and gentlemen of the jury with Exhibit B, a bag of Sweet Tango apples.
Boy, these apples are delicious.
And zesty? And sweet.
Best I ever tasted.
Your Honor, I object.
Overruled. Court dismissed. We need to recess to the grocery store for some Sweet Tango apples.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
All right, we're going to Wisconsin.
My place.
St. Francis, Wisconsin.
Yeah, love me some Wisconsin.
Well, I wish I had some better news, but I'm going to tell you about an SRO who is a school resource officer in St. Francis, Wisconsin, who's been placed on unpaid administrative leave due to a pretty horrible allegation. Dmitry Kamalov, who is a member of the St. Francis Police Department for over three decades, is under investigation for reportedly recording a female student without her knowledge in a private setting. Kamalov, who served as a part-time SRO with the St. Francis School District for the past 4 years, became the focus of the investigation. School administrators alerted police department command staff regarding inappropriate conduct involving Kamalov. The allegations detailed an incident where he allegedly recorded a female student while she was trying on T-shirts he had brought back from a trip to Brazil. According to court documents, Kamalov instructed the student to try on the shirts to determine which one fit her best. He then closed the blinds in his office and stepped out, leaving the student unaware that his cell phone was recording while he was out of the room. Upon discovering the recording, the student promptly reported the situation, good for her, to the principal, triggering immediate administrative action. Following the report, Kamalov was swiftly placed on administrative leave as the Internal Affairs Division investigated. And after 3 weeks of inquiry, Kamalov has been taken into custody and charged. This was on September 27th. Kamalov now faces serious legal repercussions, including felony charges for invasion of privacy by utilizing a surveillance device on a minor, as well as attempting to capture intimate representation of a victim under 18. The St. Francis Police Department has also initiated the process of terminating Kamalov's employment. And I would say that was the least of his worries. Yep. But
guess what? It's not
how about
ever.
That?
It's not ever.
Yeah.
There's no fucking way you just start out.
Yeah, he's probably got 100 of those on his phone.
A T-shirt back from Brazil. Oh, but sweetie, I got you a T-shirt. Just go in the office.
Yeah, I got you the medium, large, and extra large. Go try them on.
Go try them.
I'll return the other two.
And recording, and I told y'all 1,000 times, almost important for the sexual deviant to do the act is to record it, and they're going to go dig in his ass, as they should, and they're going to find other victims and other things, and no, it won't be fishing. Detectives don't fish for victims in cases like this. They do their job.
Yeah.
And people that, like, on, you know, Mike talking about it on the Sandusky episode, he's like, oh, the detectives are out there fishing for victims, luring them in. And, you know, more victims luring them in. I said, no, motherfucker, they were investigating.
Yeah.
That's how you get one victim, whether it's true or not, you're going to look into anybody this person could have had possibly had contact with.
Right.
And let me tell you something else about Wisconsin. They're going to fuck that motherfucker up. The Wisconsin people handle their own business like South Louisiana. And a lot of times they ain't even calling the law. And he was the law. So,
yeah, 30 years.
30 years.
All that.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. And you think he didn't put himself as a school resource officer the last 3 or 4 years on purpose? And he did that so he could have access to the victims that he likes. They're going to do it. I'm telling you, just watch. They're going to bust this dude on so many more things.
Yeah.
And well, fuck him.
We'll keep you updated.
Hey, you know what else is really big up there? I was up there last year for Halloween. Actually, their peak season is in October for deer.
Yeah.
And their rut starts, like ours doesn't start really to January 1, but it was the Halloween decorations. I've never seen such shit like I saw up there. Like people, the whole front yards of like haunted houses and you know, just big shit. I just thought it was really cool.
Yeah.
I always loved Halloween. And
I got a friend that does a party every year for Halloween, all expenses paid. I mean, you just go there and it's all the drink you want to drink. And I'm telling you, it would rival haunted house in the country, probably.
And the money that really they have to spend on that shit, like, I just think this one house turned a corner. Just the whole thing, there's like 15 fucking displays in the yard, and they're all talking. And I'm talking about the displays and shit. I'm like, holy fuck, that's got to be $100,000 worth at least.
Yeah.
Of shit, you know? So, anyway, beginning October, and we love and appreciate each and every one of y'all. Thank you for tuning in and listening and liking and all that good shit. And prayers of this, everybody affected by Hurricane Helene.
That's right. Prayers to all those people. And until next time, I'm Jim Chapman.
And I'm Woody Everson.
And we're your hosts of Real Life, Real Crime Daily. Peace.
Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.